things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to Week 13 edition of Bleeding Green and Gold. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
And congratulations.
Packers on top. Packers beat the Buccaneers 26-20. We're still in the playoff race.
Wow.
New year, new table.
You know,
let's run that table.
I like the we're alive thing, you know. I don't know.
We are alive.
Did you ever see Young Frankenstein,
the movie? I heard it's one of the all-time great comedies.
I don't know.
No?
I mean, it's up there, but it's like, we're alive! We're alive! So that's going back for the old folks like me. If you got gray hair and a little round in the belly.
So is that why it's one of the all-time greats? It's for old people?
No, I did. I told you it's nostalgic for some.
I'm not saying you think so.
Maybe.
A lot of those movies, they get the nostalgia factor in there.
How often have you watched a movie that people tell you, hey, this is a great movie, you need to watch it, and you go, yeah, it was pretty good.
Oh, there was a movie. Oh, I'm trying to think of what it was where everyone told me how great it was. And then when I finally saw it, it was just, okay, I don't remember what it is now. I remember The Matrix. The Matrix was built up for years for me until I finally saw it. I was like, it was a good movie.
You know, and the difference being...
it was okay.
is you being a gamer, that at the time, The Matrix was like the best game that you could play.
Mm-hmm.
But as time evolved, when you got old enough to be able to watch it, it's like you're like, because that was the special effects were the kick for the Matrix.
Whereas for you, your video games was Atari.
Pong
and Atari, the guys punching the three circles, making up the boxer.
It's no kidding. I had the thing where you had like the vibrating football field where you put the guys on there and they go, it's like... Right away, I'm like, this makes no sense to it.
They just kind of move around.
All right. So it wasn't the best of games. It
wasn't always a pretty game.
Right.
There was issues, I would say. but overall, it's always a good weekend when the Packers get a win.
Yes.
I feel like.
Yeah.
It could have been a better weekend if the Wisconsin Badgers would have won the Big Ten championship. That was a bummer.
You know, you were kind of like, come on, man, you got to get fired up on it. I just had a bad feeling on it.
You were supposed to be fired up.
I watched enough of Ohio State this year that I thought, you know what? They're just better than us. They proved it. I mean, we made it a game, but...
It was a close game. I mean, it kind of, I think, came down to what we talked about before the game, that if the Badgers win or lose, it's going to be based on if we get good Hornibrook at quarterback or bad Hornibrook at quarterback. And it definitely was not his best outing.
No. He looked like he was really out of his element.
I think he missed more screen passes than he hit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean miss like they were dropped by the running back. I mean, they were dropped because they couldn't reach him.
Right. I mean, and it was like over the head or at their feet.
Yeah. I don't know. It was a rough game for
him. Would you agree, though, that Ohio State showed that they were the better team?
They showed they were a very
good
team.
For that game, you're not willing to give it to
them. I don't know. I think we matched up well with them. I think that game happens 10 times, we win 5 of them.
Oh, that is so funny you brought that. I just read something before
we
came down.
That's so funny.
They said that who knows if we play 10 games in a row against Ohio State, who would win the most of them.
BS.
That's BS. I will find it.
No, you won't.
I'll go in my history.
You'll have to write it. It'll be on Wikipedia.
Let me edit this page quick.
Look, it's on the internet.
Hey, how weird was it to hear people booing at Lambeau? That doesn't happen very often.
Not the first time this season.
Mm-mm.
I couldn't tell you before the season last time I heard that.
I heard it before, but
it's been rare.
Yep.
But this season, it's been kind of frequent. Is this the third home game where we've heard booing?
Yeah.
This is probably the worst one yet. There was a lot of booing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we'll get into why there was a lot of booing. I think it's legit. I think I get where you want to be the place where people say they never complain. It's like, no, when you're spending 100 plus on a ticket plus everything else, mm-hmm. I think you can ask for a good product.
I mean, it was a close game. It was a it was a pretty good game. The Baltimore game, the shutout, that was at Lambeau too, right?
Yes.
That one I would have been possibly booing at if I had bought tickets to go to that game and they couldn't even make the semblance of an NFL team.
This game was kind of reminiscent there, especially in the third
quarter. At points, it was. Should we get into it here?
Yeah, we're recording on Monday. We kind of just went all over. Monday
evening. That's how we do it.
And that's right. That's how we roll, baby. And we're just trying to get it up for you as soon as we can on Tuesday. And thanks again for listening.
We'll come full circle by the end here. We'll end the podcast talking about strategy for that rattling football game.
Okay.
Was that tabletop football? Is that what it was called?
I don't remember. That sounds right.
I think that's what it was. I've seen the old boxes. You see them sometimes at like thrift stores and stuff. And then you open it up and there's just the board and there are no pieces.
To upgrade it, they made it bigger.
Madden?
They didn't change anything. They just made the players bigger and the field bigger. So it just buzzed a lot louder. What did you think of speaking of buzzing, what did you think of the play calling?
I think Mike McCarthy shouldn't be calling plays in the NFL.
What if he was just an offensive coordinator?
I think he's a good head coach. I think he's good at managing the team. I don't think he's good at managing the game. I don't think that's where he shines. Kind of, I think he's more of the guy who helps build the team and who helps in practice get the team ready for the week. I think once it gets to the game itself, someone else needs to be kind of driving that bus.
Well, brother, I'm leaning more that way. I really am.
And I feel like the two of us have been a lot slower
picking up.
I mean, we've criticized them for sure over the years here, but I think we've been a lot slower to be critical to the point where they shouldn't be in their position anymore with McCarthy and Capers, or at least be calling the plays. I don't think Capers, he's still on the hot seat with me.
It goes back and forth. I mean, as we'll get in on the defense, I mean, the defense had a really good – there was multiple times during the game where I thought, hey, that was a really good call, and including I thought that was a really good call, but the players didn't make the play. But McCarthy, to me, seems to be, honestly, more of a clear choice on
I
he
agree.
Needs to step away from
– because defense, it might be personnel issues for all we know, and that all the money's been funneled to the offense. When it comes to McCarthy – all the money's been funneled to the offense.
Yeah, and you got Aaron Rodgers and you had Brett Favre. So
and even with Hundley not having a great day, he needs to be able to muster 100 passing yards. You can dink and dive and trick your way to 100 passing yards. I don't care what you say there. And I think the most egregious thing for me when I was watching with McCarthy this game.
That's a great word.
Was that a great word?
That egregious.
Oh, wow. You want me to say it again?
Please.
The most egregious thing with McCarthy for me in this game. All right, I'm not going to say it a third time because then I might have to leave the booth and give you a moment.
It's going to have a moment.
You had a running back averaging over 5 yards a carry.
I know.
And you abandoned the run to begin the second half.
I know.
Jamal Williams was a stud out there.
Oh, my gosh.
And you have a struggling quarterback, so what do you do when you adjust for halftime? Let's not go with the guy that's tearing it up in the run game. Let's go with the guy who can't pass to a receiver.
I can't argue with you. I mean, there's no room to argue.
It was just frustrating.
It's a valid point.
I feel like we've seen that kind of thing too many times with McCarthy. There was no challenges by McCarthy this game, and that upset me. At the end of the game there.
Well, I pointed that,
that first down where we didn't get the first down.
Right. Just before the second.
But we didn't challenge. It was very close from what we saw, the angles we saw. It could have gone either way. I thought it's hard to overturn spotting the ball as a ref. You don't see it happen much. It has to be clearly a bad call on where they spotted the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But he had nothing to lose.
Right, exactly.
Because he has his two challenges.
Right.
And he's almost to the two-minute warning. You can't use your challenges after that. Might as well burn one.
Right.
You have, was it three timeouts I think he had at that point?
I'm not sure how many times. I thought it was two, but I'm not totally sure.
You know, you're giving them the ball back. You're probably not going to need those timeouts at this point.
Exactly.
So don't worry about losing the challenge and burning a timeout. It's worth possibly getting that first down and changing the whole ending to the game.
So isn't that, those are the moments that I just wish. I mean, I've got a friend of mine that has done the media after the games, shout to Wayne Mauser, and he said it's tough to be able to get good questions in, but dang it, I think that would be a good one to at the end of the game and say, yeah, you won, but what about this play? What was your thinking? What?
Sean Reagan with Bleeding Green and Gold, just kind of wondering what the hell's going on out there, Mike.
we have a system here and everything, and we know exactly we had it figured out before the game. So
just gotta get back to fundamentals.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
McCarthy's go-to line. We just gotta get back to fundamentals.
We got a system. He's in protocol.
All right.
I wanted to point out. You mentioned that Hundley had under 100 yards.
Yes.
I think Dak Prescott had, I think it was 104, just to point that out, to make that comparison.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Did you realize we failed to make a first down in the third quarter?
Every time we're like,
we don't need
to
score. We kept saying, how about a first down?
The whole third quarter was bad.
Ugh.
We had no offense, and I go over to
the stats.
Yeah, the stats here. Sure. Can you scroll up?
Sure.
That's down.
That's as far as I got.
Okay, they didn't score in the third quarter yet. I was just curious. What happened in the third quarter there? But it, I don't know. You know, that's where you want to come out of the gates strong.
Right
you,
at the
you
half.
Go into halftime, you get them figured out, and you come out and you implement your new game plan. And it sometimes feels like we do worse after halftime. I think Rodgers is a second half guy. A lot of time I think he figures out defenses and ways he can beat people. And so we see him play better a lot in the second half. But I don't know if we see McCarthy play better or call better plays in the second half.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think Mike Holmgren, going back in the days, I thought Mike was a much better second half. I don't know if it was him or the coaches he had with him or a combination, but I think Aaron is just, he is the offense. And so he goes out there and they call a play, he sees it's not the right play, he'll change it, and he knows how to make it work. But Hundley, he doesn't have that experience.
Maybe it's time for a new Mike in Green Bay. Are you ready?
Yes.
You gonna step up, Mike?
Sure. Anybody who does good in practice gets a beer. You do good in six times, you get a six-pack.
For those of you who haven't been following the Packers as long, or if you know you're overseas, can't follow football quite as well, is this three Mikes in a row we've had at head coach now?
Yeah, Mike.
Mike Sherman?
No.
Or Mike Holmgren first.
Mike Holmgren.
Then Mike Sherman. Now Mike McCarthy. And that's going back how many years?
Oh, man.
To 80s?
The 90s.
Early 90s?
Early to mid-90s, I think, when he came in.
That's a lot of Mikes.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
Can't break that streak, can
you? How about put a Mike's Heart Lemonade in there as well?
Not a paid sponsor for Bleeding Green and Gold, but if you would like to be, you can reach out to the show.
And we take alcohol advertising for sure.
So what do you think about Hundley this game? I know his numbers didn't look great. 13 of 22, 84 yards, one interception. Part of that is he didn't really get to play much.
Hi. You know, it's funny you asked me this question after pointing out all the mics, because I go back and I like, there's one play where he was towards our end zone and he kind of spun around a couple times and he got sacked. It's like, I have seen Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers both do the same thing multiple times. And so it's like, I was really disappointed with him and I thought, oh my God, come on, man. You know, you got to make something.
Come on, man.
But it happens. And so I do get critical, but on the other hand, I wish I had a better handle on what I should be able to expect out of the guy. Because there's times I still, in this game especially, I mean, he's all over the board, and I really don't think that's unusual for being a starter, mm-hmm. a new starter. But, man, there's times where it's just like he throws, and it's like going, why? Why are you throwing? I mean, he threw an interception. It was three defenders better set than, I think it was Jordy.
It was Jordy downfield. The problem with that one is it wasn't even near Jordy,
mm-hmm.
the ball. I think the biggest thing I noticed with Hundley this game compared to the last two is that he looked, I think, more comfortable. Even in the Steelers game, with the Steelers defense, he looked more comfortable.
Yeah, I agree with
when,
that.
When he stayed in the pocket, maybe about the same, but when he broke out of the pocket, he was keeping his eyes down the field more
mm-hmm.
in the Steelers game. Just kind of seemed more capable, almost. And now Tampa Bay's defense, who are not known this season for having a great defense, all of a sudden he looks like I thought he would against the Steelers. It was frustrating, and
That's a really good comparison. Nice. Because I'm thinking as I'm back to the Steelers game, and I'm like, yeah, he had some great. I mean, he looked solid most of the game.
Yeah, this is more what I was expecting last week.
That's a really good point.
He just never looked to get hit like he got his rhythm or his momentum under him. He's missing receivers, overthrowing guys, underthrowing guys. You know. And you can tell because he has those drag routes or those little sweeps off to the side to the running back or a screen even. If you're not hitting those, something's wrong.
Right.
If you've gotten to this level in the NFL, you should be able to hit those passes.
Amen.
And if you're not, it's not your arm that's messed up. There's something else going on, whether it's, you know, the way you're handling the pressure, your footing, or just your mind,
I think it's the pressure and the footing which affect each other. And you can see it sometimes when he sets. If you don't have a zip on the ball in the NFL, it's bad. And so, I mean, I don't want to go too negative on it. We did win.
You don't want to go too negative? How about this? He ended up with, I believe it was six rushes. He ended up with six rushes here. Seven rushes for 66 yards, a long of 18. We have been begging every week for him to use his feet. And we haven't known why he hasn't, really. He's had a couple runs here and there. But we didn't know if it was because of the lingering kind of hamstring injury he seems
How
to be playing through.
Option?
Or if it's McCarthy telling him not to.
We've been begging
for runs, and it was effective every time he ran with it. And then, like you just said, we've been asking for the option as well, mm-hmm. and we got that this game multiple times.
And it worked.
It worked.
The kid knows how to play it. I mean, it's crazy.
And the other thing is, if you have a running back who's averaging over 5 yards a carry, the option is going to be effective. No, I'm just saying. Because
I know.
Have to respect Williams if they can't stop him. And then
your head coach who's calling the plays doesn't respect you, the defense has to respect you. That's why I'm laughing.
I was really glad to see the option. And I believe we saw it on that final overtime drive as well. I think a couple times. I think he kept it the first time, had a run that went well, and then I think the second time he handed it off. I think that overtime drive, that should have been how McCarthy was calling the whole second half. I really liked how he called that last drive, but he should have been doing that before the last drive in overtime.
You know, I give you that. And he, if going back to where you said they should have challenged that play, if they would have challenged it, they could have had it overturned and we wouldn't have gone into overtime. That was the part that was so frustrating.
So that, you want to look at the final drive
sure.
real quick,
yeah.
the overtime drive? Okay.
Oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could do
this. There's all sorts of things you can do with numbers.
Wow.
so we got the ball at our 28. Okay.
Okay.
Shotgun over to Williams towards the right tackle. Got 2 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Then Williams again for 4 yards. And then Hundley scrambled right. That was the option pass. He scrambled right on the option for a first down, 7 yards. Deep left to Jordy. I mean, It seemed like an interesting choice, a weird time to take your shot.
Yeah, that's we both
you,
said that.
You take
yeah.
your shot during the game when, you know, we still have time after this if this goes poorly. You don't do that in overtime with a guy who's been struggling all game to a receiver who hasn't been catching the deep pass since his quarterback left. But Hundley went to the right end for 18 yards, another run there. Jamal Williams to the left tackle for 9 yards. And then Hundley, a short pass to the right to Williams. All McCarthy did that drive is sticking with what worked.
Yeah.
Runs to Williams, running it with Hundley, and then the short pass to the running back. He went with exactly what was working and what they weren't able to stop the whole game. Mm-hmm. You should be calling plays on offense that they have proven they can't stop.
So we're going to talk about this in the defense as well, but I felt like Tampa Bay was calling a better game because we couldn't stop the screen, and they just ran it and ran it and ran it.
Yeah, they were doing good on the screen play. I don't know if I would say they called a better game. I think Tampa made just as many or more mistakes than we did in this game. They did a lot to lose this game. So
I would agree with that.
We should thank them for that.
I would agree with that. That's what's got me nervous about playing Cleveland, because just because we won doesn't mean that we're a good team.
I mean, I would say we won this game despite Hundley, the way he played.
Which is nice, because that's what we talked about early when Aaron went down. We need other guys to step up. I felt the defense stepped up. I thought special teams was fantastic. So it's cool that we were able to do it. I think that's huge. I get that's what the head coach, Mike McCarthy, is talking about. I don't know if you saw it, but he said, winning this game speaks volumes for this team. He said, no, it's not pretty. No, but he said the way that individual players stepped up is what's going to make this next run work. We'll see.
Maybe that's just going to be our tradition. We're going to run the table every year. We're going to give the Vikings hope every year. And then we're going to run the table and take it away.
So let me ask, am I right in that if we win against the Browns, then Aaron could be back for Carolina?
They're saying Aaron should be back.
He should
for Carolina.
Be back.
I don't know if you saw this. I believe it's Friday in practice. McCarthy was saying they had Rodgers out there throwing, and he threw a Hail Mary that was, they said, as high as the one in Detroit that almost hit the ceiling.
Really?
And they're like, so he's back. I mean, there's no question about him being able to throw the ball. It's more of a question of him
taking
the hit
as
the quarterback. Yeah. But he's definitely out there slinging it, which is just incredible.
You know, it is.
When you think about how short of a time it's been since he got hit.
I don't think we've got too many people that are as strong as an NFL quarterback, but think about the torque and the strength in your body that you have to have to throw that, and then it comes back. You know, if it's not healed, it's going to hurt.
I mean, you're sore the next day just from watching the games.
Oh, I'm just getting up out of bed. I'm sore.
Offensive line, I didn't have a ton to talk about on the offensive line this game. I don't know if you do.
I think it's positive.
We only gave up 2 sacks for 7 yards, which I think is pretty good considering how long Hundley held on to the ball at points. And we looked good in the run game, getting the run protection.
Yeah.
Guys were blocking downfield a lot. They weren't just blocking at the line. They were getting
off
their
block.
They did. Let me see here. Bakhtiari, I know he, on that final run by Aaron Jones in overtime,
the
Aaron Jones touchdown, which we didn't talk about that. What an odd choice by McCarthy.
I think we're getting to it.
We'll get there. Okay, I'll save it then. But yeah, good run blocking. Bakhtiari had a lot of good blocking on. I think as the game went on, he got better. Those final runs, he did really well. And also Jordy was blocking all the way to the end zone on that final run. Jordy's a team guy.
I know. He's a farm boy. You got to love him. I agree with you. I think one of those sacks that they got, I'm going to put it as a coverage sack. And I think Aaron could. I could see him getting sacked on that one, too. So it was just good defense, and he should have thrown it away, but got
caught. And they were bringing a lot of pressure the whole game because we couldn't throw the ball. They were able to stack the box against the run, and they were able to, you know, bring a lot of pressure on throwing downs, and to only give up two sacks on that, that's, you know, it's nice to see.
Yeah.
Especially
yeah,
totally. When we sacked them seven times.
Oh, God. Well, here we go.
Haven't seen that in a while.
Let's talk about, we mentioned Williams rushing, earlier in, man, talk about it. I mean.
Monster game.
Just a huge. I mean, this guy, I put down tough, tough, tough. Especially, I think it was towards the end of the game, and he basically punched the guy in the face.
he did.
Running out of bounds.
I mean, that was actually kind of ticky-tack, because the rule is you can hit a guy in the face with your stiff arm, but you have to keep your arm kind of extended after you do it. You can't just punch him in the face and bring your arm back down, which is...
That's what he did.
It's what he did.
Yeah.
But it's still good to see that, you know, that effort out there and that tenacity kind of when they're running it.
And that's his makeup. I mean, I see it over and over again, even when he runs up the middle. How about that touchdown he had? I mean, he was stopped, I think it was at the 3-yard line, and he had two guys hanging on him.
He just put his shoulder down, kept running. He had a couple first downs where he did the same thing.
Love it. Love it. Love it. 21 rushes for 113 yards and a touchdown. I mean...
And I think it was more impressive than the numbers even show, because we didn't have a viable option at quarterback. We weren't, you know, lighting it up in the passing game. Yeah. So like we said, they were stacking the box. They knew we were going to run it, and we still averaged over 5 yards a carry. It was impressive. I've been impressed every time we've seen him with his – I really like his vision and the cuts he makes. And like you said, it can't complain about his power. Out there.
Tough guy.
As a Packer fan, I'm really happy with our young running backs.
Yes.
Him and Aaron Jones.
It's so weird.
It is weird. Because we haven't had a ton for running backs.
So let me ask you this. I was thinking about this earlier, because we got Aaron Jones and we got Williams, and so Fitzgerald is hurt. He's a former receiver. Do you put him in a more of a hybrid role? Or do you bring him back as a running back?
Montgomery?
Montgomery, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm thinking Arizona.
I was like, I don't think we have any Fitzgeralds on the team.
Sorry.
Yeah, Montgomery, he's out for the season now.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering, like, coming, like, next year. Now we know Williams is a guy. Jones might be a guy. He was just giving him a breather there at the end.
I don't know about that. I know Williams was drafted higher, but Jones, when he was healthy, he became... You know, he was higher up than Williams on the depth chart.
Mm.
So he worked his way up above him.
So do
in
we
the
have
team's
two
eyes.
Solid guys?
I think we have two very solid guys here, and both of them seem to have really good vision. We're seeing.
So do we keep all three?
Yeah, back? You keep all three. Why not?
Well,
this is the modern NFL. You have two or three running backs, or you have two running backs that split carries, and then you have your passing running back, which we have in Montgomery.
That's what we talked about fantasy football. It's how they've kind of diminished the running
It's hard
back.
To find a valuable running back nowadays.
But anyway, Williams, man, just exciting to have happen. And why would you not keep feeding him the ball?
One thing that is kind of nice to see now with Williams and Jones both looking so well when they've had, you know, their moments to shine is – when we get Rodgers back now, that's a lot of experience these two guys have had.
Agree.
In their rookie seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that could be really beneficial. We've never had a great running back with Rodgers, have we? I mean, Ryan Grant would have been his best one. We had Ryan Grant with Rodgers, right?
Don't
probably a year or two.
Don't tax my memory. You know, it's only good for
tomorrow. I'd say a year or two, probably. But since then, that's probably his best running back he's ever had.
I think personally that he made the game. I think because Hundley was really struggling.
He was our only offense.
Yep, and so he was able to move the ball, get us those tough yards, get us those first downs, get us that touchdown. And the other team, Tampa Bay has to account for it, so it opens up other things. So I just think he had a great game.
I agree. And I want to touch on Aaron Jones here.
Sure.
But just in case people out there don't know, Ty Montgomery has been now placed on IR. I think, personally, they tried to rush him back. You know, he had the rib injury.
With the ribs.
Then he was fighting through. He never quite got healthy from the ribs because he kept playing through it, and then he hurt his wrist. I don't know if we'd be in an IR situation at this point if they had just kept him out a couple weeks.
Interesting.
Because he wasn't really effective when he was in during the injuries.
Yeah, that good point.
And it's sad to see that because he just lit it up the first 3 weeks before things kind of went downhill for him. But he was having a great year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. Yeah, he definitely was.
Aaron Jones was able to suit up for this game. We weren't sure if he'd be able to, but he was able to play. We didn't see him all game, which I almost started him in fantasy football, so I'm glad I didn't. But we didn't see him all game. We get to the end of regulation. No Aaron Jones.
Right.
Williams helps move us down the field.
Right. He needs a breather.
To the 20-yard line in overtime.
Yep.
So we give it to Aaron Jones, who hasn't even played a snap.
You're right.
And he gets stuffed at the line, bounces it out to the left for a 20-yard touchdown run. Is McCarthy
split exactly how they planned it?
Is he nuts or is he a genius? Like, I don't know.
Well, I think Williams needed a breather. I think that's all that was. I don't think it was intent. I think they would bring him back after they weren't expecting it, and it worked. And so McCarthy looks like a genius for pulling this guy out for one.
Yeah, he was fresh, that's for sure.
Oh, man, he was fast, too.
He was fast. Speaking of fast, I know we'll get there. Lowry on that fumble recovery.
Lowry?
Talk about fast for a big guy. Oh. He was gaining separation.
He was. I agree.
Receiving. Before we move on to defense here, we don't have a lot of receiving that happened in this game. Let me kind of run through the numbers. Receiving for the Packers. Davante Adams, once again, under Hundley, is our number one receiver. 4 receptions, 42 yards. Then you had Jordy with 5 receptions for 17 yards.
Yeah.
Those quick little out routes are not working to Jordy. Kendricks had 1 reception for 11, and then Williams with 2, and Richard Rodgers for 1. Not much receiving to talk about.
Yeah, when your quarterback throws under 100 yards, you're not going to get
You're not going to have much. Again, Adams is kind of his go-to guy.
Mm-hmm. Adams.
And I think that, again, is he's getting separation when others aren't. And I think he's become kind of a safety net for Hundley. But Jordy, those little out routes where it's 1 or 2 yards and then he breaks to the sideline, they're not working. When we do it to the wide side of the field, they're a dangerous pass because it's not an easy pass. And Hundley is, he's getting close to those being undercut. And that's an easy pick six if they if they see it coming to the wide side of the field. Again, the Jordy woes continue.
He looks
with
frustrated.
No Rodgers. He did. We said that right at the beginning of the game. I think he had a catch for a first down, like a 2-yard first down.
Yeah.
But he got up. He wasn't smiling. Right. He didn't look happy. He just kind of looked.
It's got to be tough.
Frustrated.
I mean, I think he's only human. So if you're ready to move on to defense, I got a question for you.
Okay. You want to move on to defense?
Are you done with?
No, we'll move on
to
defense.
So on talking about play calling on defense. And do you think that we've really failed at the screen? Do you think that was personnel or play calling?
Play calling.
Really?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Why?
Because that's kind of the only way you beat a screen. You have to call the right play. Screens very dependent its success on the defense doing what you think they're going to do at that moment. You want them to crash down at your quarterback.
Right.
You want them to think they're about to get that big time sack. So you can basically all you want is to get their front line of pressure, the ball lobbed over them to your running back with guys in front of them to take on the second level. It's basically a way to skip the front line of the defense and get to the second level.
So the second level would be like the linebackers.
Yeah, like the linebackers, safety sometimes if they're playing down. And it worked for them every time we crashed down. You can play soft zones on the sides to help against screens. You can play spies on a running back. There's a lot of things you can do to counter screen passes.
Well, part of it is I think that there were times when they had the right call and the personnel didn't do the job because there were guys there and they just didn't get the job done. That's why I asked you.
Mm-hmm. I think the reason it killed us so much this game, because I think we had one time we stopped a screen. I'm not sure. Other than that, it didn't feel like it.
No, it didn't feel like we stopped any.
But Capers was dialing up the blitz.
They were.
And dialing up the pressure a lot this game compared
to
what he has in the past. And I think part of that is just research. That Winston has struggled against pressure his whole career. So it was nice to see us able to get pressure. We haven't seen that a ton this year. But when you do that all game, you are going to get burned by screens.
Right. Man, it's like we watched the same game. I totally agree with you on that.
Hey, seven sacks.
We got seven.
We had seven sacks. We've struggled to get sacks this year. We've gotten a lot of games with no sacks. So this was nice. It was
fun. How much
fun.
Do you think that happened because Matthews was back, so they focused on him? He's still got a couple of them.
Yeah, Matthews had 2.5 sacks himself. I think... Like we've been saying, he doesn't always have the numbers there, but he causes a lot of chaos on that line. Mm-hmm. You have to be aware of where he is as an offense and as an offensive line. You always have to know where Matthews is. And he'll do the bull rush or his little spin move as well. But he loops around a lot, and he does stunts with other linemen. Right. He does a lot of stuff to move around, and they got to adapt to him.
And then with a guy like Winston, you could see so many quarterbacks are like this now in the NFL, but he was kind of covering his zone. Like if you ever play basketball, you got your zone where in case he decided to scramble, he was still in. I'm sure it's got to be tough as a guy who's as aggressive as Clay Matthews is to hold back and play patty cake with a defensive lineman. But that's what helps. I mean, that's you got to be a team guy, and I think I saw it repeatedly in this game.
So we got a lot of pressure. We gave up a lot of running yards.
Mm-hmm.
Barber, he looked well. He looked good for them. They had a lot of chunk plays as well, a lot of chunk runs.
Yeah,
where they just broke through the middle of our line.
Right down the
right through the middle.
Middle.
And I think part of that is us, you know, going all out for the blitz
Stunts.
Again.
Yeah.
That a lot of times if you're blitzing hard as a defense, you can tackle the running back in the backfield and it'll look really good. But if you don't get that tackle in the backfield, there is a large gap between you now and that second level of your defense.
I'm trying to remember.
So it can go – it's riskier to blitz heavy on running plays.
And you're going to give up some big plays.
Yeah.
There was – I think it was Oakland way back in the day. I'm probably wrong. But they had the same type of theory. You know, it was all guts, no glory. And so they would give up these
Al
huge
Davis.
Plays, but they would also just, like, rush 10 guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was crazy. But Barber looks really good, especially on those – dang screens, man. They just won over and over and over and over.
Yeah, he looked good. He runs hard as well. He kind of looked like Williams a lot of the times out there, Jamal Williams.
They
were running very similarly during the game.
When you found out that Winston was going to play, in your mind, like if you're not that you are a betting person, but like what does that change the numbers in your mind? It's like, without him,
my feeling after they got Winston back was it's a lot closer to a coin toss.
So even
than anything, yeah. Because I felt like we were the favorites going into that game. I didn't think Winston was going
really?
To play.
I didn't feel that.
Once he became, you know, available for them,
yeah.
Because it kind of the player he is. He's like we said, he's a Favre-like guy. You know, he's
is.
Like a young Favre, where he's the gunslinger. He'll go out there. He had two fumbles this game. One of them was bad because basically fumbled it into Lowry's hands.
Right. I was going to say that was very Favre-esque because he still tried to make a play.
Very
and he just
Favre.
Basically passes the ball to Lowry and he runs it in 60 plus yards.
So he makes a lot of those mistakes, but he also has a lot of the big exciting plays and he's good with his feet, so he'll have exciting runs. So he wins games the way Favre used to with the spectacular.
Yeah.
So I did think it was a lot closer to a coin toss after he was made available for them, but I'm glad we got the win. I think we did pretty good against him. He spread the ball around a ton.
Mm-hmm.
He had 10 different receivers this game that had at least a reception.
And he missed some guys, too. It's like some pretty mm-hmm. wide open players, so we got lucky there.
He had that first touchdown he had to Brate, the tight end, down the middle of the field, that one-handed grab
beautiful.
In the end zone
beautiful
by Brate. Beautiful. But he overthrew him.
Yes, by
that's
a
why
bunch.
It was a one-handed yeah. grab. Beautiful one-handed grab, because he overthrew him. So
but he made it look like it. That's what we practice it. You know? But no,
hey, if he catches in, you get 6 points. It was good enough. yeah, I thought I would go back to kind of what you said, where McCarthy was saying a lot of guys stepped up individually and mm-hmm. had good performances. I think we had a lot of good performances on defense. I don't know if as a defense we played as well as we could have to stop them. But I think we played well.
Yeah.
Kenny Clark got his first career sack. He caused the fumble that went to Lowry. Kenny Clark had another good game.
Yeah, solid.
I think he went out with an injury, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he went out. Clinton Dix, 7 tackles, 2 assisted tackles. He was all over the field this game.
Sorry.
He had a good game. Jake Ryan had a sack. He went out and didn't come back in, I believe. Correct? Jake Ryan?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't think he came back. And that would be a big hole in our defense if he's not back, by next game. He's been big. He's been solid.
That's
what you
got
can count
on. So many
guys
like that we can say that they're not flashy, but they're there. They're playing their role.
Speaking of solid and reliable.
Love this kid.
Martinez.
Man.
Just a great game again. Mm-hmm. I know we say reliable every game with him, but he is.
He's so young.
He's what you want
yes.
as an inside linebacker, where he'll make the tackle.
Mm-hmm.
He covers both sides of the field. He can crash down. He is young, like you said. He's kind of becoming, for how young he is, a general in that defense, where he'll get guys ready. He'll get guys in position, and they had him calling plays last season.
You know, and for me, when I look at him and how he's playing, it's kind of like what I expected out of AJ Hawk, but he never got there. I think this kid's gonna get there.
He's like a young AJ, a lot of just ton of potential.
Mm-hmm.
I think AJ gets kind of the raw end of the stick sometimes. I liked AJ Hawk a lot, and I know he didn't get the big flashy numbers that fans, he was a first-round draft pick.
Right.
Fans thought he was going to be huge. He was the next big thing at linebacker, but I know he wasn't that for us, but he was reliable, and that's what you need at inside linebacker succeed as a team.
I want more than reliable at that when you pick him in the first round. I want somebody that's going to be
reliable. He was reliable when we won the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. And then we let him go.
5 tackles, 6 assisted tackles for Martinez.
Crazy.
Randall, he went out and then later passed concussion protocol.
Which is great news.
Before the game was done, so that is good news with him. And he had a couple missed plays this game, but he has actually been playing better the last couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least I haven't been noticing him playing poorly
as
much the last couple weeks. And I still like what I'm seeing from Hawkins. I've been trying to keep an eye on him every time he's out on the field. It's hard to know when because they kind of plug and play him a lot.
Right.
But I think he shows a lot of promise in the secondary. He's a fast guy. He seems to cover well. He almost had that pick this game.
Mm-hmm.
Not a huge deal because it was on third, so they still had to punt. But and then we blocked the punt. Was that the one we blocked?
We blocked it, and then we made it. We had a touchdown.
Yeah, so I guess it all worked out.
I still want to point out that how funny it was. I don't know if you can find it on YouTube. I'm sure it's somewhere. But with Lowry, where he got that weird fumble interception thing and then scored a touchdown, ran it back, I think it was 62 yards. And then he does kind of a Lambo
he
leap.
He did a Lambo leap.
He did a Lambo lean. He didn't do a Lambo leap.
He leaped.
He kind of leaned. He was more of a lean.
I think you're being overly harsh.
Hey, this
on Lowry.
Is one overweight guy to another.
Overweight Lowry. He's in the NFL. He's a big guy.
Yeah, that's right.
But he ran more than he's used to.
Well, he was pulling away.
He ran
too.
Fast.
Yeah.
And he still made it into the stands. I think that's a win all around on that play
whatever.
For him.
Sure.
Okay. You see how happy he was on the sideline?
Yeah,
he had the biggest grin on his face. Everyone's hitting him in the head.
Yeah, that's cool. And your sister just found her new player because she can go, Larry?
And that's a big moment in these kind of games. You know, when you're missing your star, your general on the team, to have those big momentum moments, I think that's big for a team to win these close games like that. Even if it's not, you know, a scoring play like that was. Special teams.
Oh, I thought we did great on special teams.
Davis is exciting.
You're just holding your breath.
You know what, Davis? What I wish? I've never been a fan of them moving up the kickoffs. For people who are newer to NFL, the kickoffs used to be further back that they kicked them from, and you would have a lot of kickoff returns. It was more common to see the ball return than a touchback,
right?
Which now it's way more common for a touchback because they moved it up further. It's easier to kick it out of the back.
And what was the reason behind that?
They did it for player safety because they said, you know, it's one of the most dangerous plays of the game. You have guys running full speed down the field at each other. Mm-hmm. Problem is, all you're doing now is letting the kicking team get closer to, you know,
hitting. Yeah.
To hitting. So they can get there faster and hit them now. And as far as I can tell, I don't think it's cut down on injuries. I'd have to see the numbers for it.
Right.
But it has cut down on excitement because that used to be one of the most exciting plays of the game.
Watching the 2.5 minutes after that kickoff.
Yeah, and then they have another commercial break after the kickoff. Right. Now it's pointless. But you used to have kick return specialists. You had Devin Hester, other guys who, you know, they didn't have really a position anywhere else on the team. That's what they did. That's how they made a living. And you saw guys, their careers were done when that rule was changed, which is kind of sad. And I don't know. I miss the kickoffs. I would like to see Davis back when we had kickoffs more regularly.
Man, I think he's one of the best from what I've seen.
He's exciting.
Yeah, he totally is.
We had another big one called back this game for a penalty. It's frustrating.
Oh, gosh, that's so frustrating because you get so fired up and then all of a sudden you see the yellow flag thing come up.
Solid game, again, by Vogel, I thought.
Yeah.
He has been, I feel like, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, and that's what you want. You don't want anything.
Because I'm trying to think back. There hasn't been those flashy, you know, down it within the 10-yard line or the 5-yard line. But it's always, he shifts the field position.
Yes.
He's very good at, you know, we need this many, you get this many.
And see, I'm glad
getting
you
the hang time
out
to allow us to get there, allow Davis to get down the field on coverage. Because he's been playing well on both sides of the special teams. Davis has been getting down there fast. And
well, and I think to me, when you have a punter that can do what he is expected to do, and you got a running game going, it just changes the game for you. I mean, it tilts in your favor.
Yeah. I would agree. I think until the fourth quarter, or maybe even overtime, special teams was the only part we were doing better in. Like on the offense, defense, we were probably doing worse overall. Special teams, we got them there. That blocked punt was huge.
Yeah,
it turned into a touchdown. So that's 6 points off a blocked punt.
And that to me kind of set up the overtime too, because if you think about it, because they blocked it, and then Williams had a really nice run. That's where he stiff-armed the guy in the face. Mm-hmm. And then Hundley had a nice run that got us towards, you know, the end zone. So it just kind of – I think the momentum kind of thing, it was huge at that point. But, yeah, it was good. And, of course, Crosby. I mean, Crosby's Crosby.
He had a good game.
Yeah.
Final thoughts on this game. You got some final thoughts?
You know what? I think you're going to have games like this every year, whether it's Rodgers or Hundley.
We always do have games like this.
And then you just kind of go, it wasn't pretty, but we got the win. Mm-hmm. And that's how I take it. And I just think that now we move forward with it. And I told you, if we lost this game, I wasn't sure if we'd be able to beat the Browns, but that's what we have up next. But I think I'm feeling pretty good about it now. And then hopefully Aaron can come back.
I mean, yeah. At this point, everything hinged on winning this game.
Yep.
Like, we didn't just win the game, we kept our season alive. Because if we had lost this game, there wouldn't have really been a point for Rodgers to come back, because we wouldn't have made the playoffs.
I wouldn't have, if it was me, I wouldn't have made that decision. I would have said, no, just let him heal. We're not going to make the playoffs. Why?
Well, they've already said, if we're not in playoff contention, he's not coming back. It was huge for us. I think one of the biggest things in this game was time of possession, where we talked about it last week, where in the week before that, McCarthy needs to game management drives. Not every drive has to be a touchdown, obviously. It's the NFL. It's not going to happen.
Right.
But you need to be able to, take up some time, get a first down or two, give your defense a rest, and he just can't always seem to do that. A lot of coaches, I know Belichick is famous for these, and I think Andy Reid is as well. You have what's called games or drive starting plays, where this is this percent of the time, this play will get me where I need to go. It'll get me close enough to a first down, or it'll get me a first down. Just got to start that drive. McCarthy needs to be able to start a drive. He can't always do that.
So we're circling back to what we started with. You want McCarthy to give up the
I told calling. You we'd come full circle.
All right.
Browns up next. Carolina lost. That's good news for
news
us.
For
That's
us.
A good final thought.
Yep.
And then I think just like last year, we're running another table.
I know.
Let's run the table.
It's a good thing you got a good heart, brother.
Yeah. Playoffs are exciting, so why not make them last 6 weeks?
Yeah, no kidding.
7 weeks.
So we get it. It would be a special, even, God forbid. I mean, my prediction was that we were going to go into Minneapolis in the Super Bowl and win just to tick off all the Viking fans even more. It could happen. We just got to keep winning. And if Aaron comes back, it changes the dynamic so much. Right now, I'm looking at, we've got Carolina, the Lions, and not in this order, but the Vikings.
Okay. Question for you.
And so those are three really tough games with Hundley. And Aaron's back. It's like,
those are three heartbreaking losses with Hundley.
Ooh.
No, I don't mean to be mean, so we win against the Browns.
Yep.
Rodgers comes back. We win those games. We make the playoffs.
Yep.
Regardless of if we, go on to win a Super Bowl or if we just lose right away in the playoffs, have a playoff run, whatever happens there. Let's say we win out and make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
How does McCarthy and his job look then? Aaron comes back.
He's good. He's fine.
Saves your team.
Yep.
Do you still realize
how many
deficiencies there are without Aaron?
If we win against the Browns and lose against Carolina, the Lions, and Minnesota, I think he's still – he's not going anywhere.
And all three or one of them?
All three.
He has to lose all three to lose
his
job.
That's my feeling. Green Bay doesn't – they're glacially slow.
But is that the only way you see him getting fired after this season, if he loses all three of those?
No, I'm saying if he loses all three, he's still got his job.
Oh, you think he still has it?
Yep.
That would be a very Packer organization thing to do.
Yeah, and that's what I've said before. It's that's the part where sometimes you look at it and say, we're lucky we don't have an owner, but sometimes you kind of wish you had an impatient owner.
I agree. Okay. This week, you are giving away the game ball.
Oh, I got this one, baby.
All right.
Mr. Williams.
Mr. Williams.
Jamal Williams.
It's a good choice. I mean, he had a great game, like we said. Mm-hmm. We won because of the game he had. In the game, the offensive line had blocking for him.
He was a huge factor in the game.
Yeah.
And I love seeing a young player. I mean, he was making really good decisions on his cuts and everything. It was just so – it's exciting.
One fun fact to point out. I know you love fun facts.
I do.
That is now three different Packer running backs that have gotten game balls this season.
Really?
Yeah.
You wouldn't think that. Well, hey, yeah, thanks for pointing
look at that. Look at that.
Are you
look at
that. Mr. Statman. All right. So do we want to kind of go around the big scores around the league? Is that what you want to do? You want to touch on those? Or?
Yeah. Okay. Let's do that. Okay. We had Minnesota at Atlanta. Minnesota wins it 14-9. Not a high-scoring game, but Minnesota continues to roll, and them beating Atlanta and Philly losing last night puts Minnesota in as currently the number one seed in the NFC.
They're running the NFC, and Atlanta, they just couldn't score. They kicked five field goals. They made four. It's crazy.
They made three field goals.
Three, okay. Minnesota looks really good.
They do. They don't really have the star power, the flashy name, mm-hmm. but they've put all the pieces together. And if any year that's going to win you games, it's this year.
Yeah.
Like we said all year so far, consistency will be the key to whoever wins the Super Bowl this year. Right. Detroit at Baltimore?
Yeah. Well, I didn't expect this one to be so lopsided, but I did see a little bit of it.
Baltimore to score 44 points with their offense.
And Matthew Stafford didn't look the best. I watched the highlights on it.
They actually thought he might have broken his hand after the game. Yeah. Reports say it's not a broken hand.
But there was some stuff earlier in the game as well. But anyway, Baltimore looks really good, according to the highlights on that game. So 20-44
Baltimore is going to be the worst AFC playoff team this year. Calling it.
Okay. He's called it.
Yeah. San Francisco at Chicago. San Francisco won 15-14.
Another field goal game.
Kansas City at New York Jets. Kansas City 31. Jets 38. Struggles continue. And Andy Reidville.
Mm-hmm. And the Jets were supposed to be throwing it out.
And this was also the first game after Reid gave up play calling duties.
Oh, wow, that didn't work out well.
No, it did not. Carolina losing to the Saints 21-31. Good for the Packers. Mm-hmm. And then the Philly-Seattle score on Sunday night was Seattle 24, Philly 10. Seattle looked really good. Philly could never quite get it going. Carson Wentz still, I don't know if you watched this game. He had a couple great throws for a 10-score game for their team. Interesting game. I think Seattle's defense really stepped up that game.
Did you see the questionable lateral pass?
I did.
What do you think? Do you think it was a pass or do you think it was a lateral?
It was definitely a pass.
Oh, so he's way past the line.
I think if he had been standing still when he threw it, there would have been no question that was a forward pass. Because for whoever didn't see it, Russell Wilson was running down the field, and he lateraled it sideways on a big play to a teammate. And they kept showing the replay on if it was a lateral or a forward pass. Because if he's past the line of scrimmage, it has to be a lateral where he passes it backwards, kind of like in rugby.
Right.
It only looked like a lateral because he was running after he lateraled it. So he kept going. The ball didn't go as fast as he did, so it looked like it went backwards. But if you look where he lateraled it from and then where the guy caught it, it was 2 yards past where he lateraled it, so it had to have gone forward. It just didn't look like it because it was an illusion.
Did it get reviewed?
No, they got the snap off before it could get reviewed.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Tricky, tricky, tricky. All right.
All right, so, Mike.
What?
I hear you do voiceover.
I was going to skip it because we kind of...
No.
Sean and I record this Father and Son podcast in my recording booth, and if you ever need anything where you need a recorded voice to give your voice, just... hook up, and I'm going to give you a website address, and then you can check out some of my demos or anything else. If you have any questions, you can contact me there. It's voiceguynextdoor.com, and just go give it a listen. I'd love to, touch base and straight up, and that's what I do. And as you can hear, it's even with the door open, it still sounds pretty good.
Even with the snoring mountain dog outside the door.
Well, sometimes she's not all the way outside the door. So voiceguynextdoor.com.
Voiceguynextdoor.com.
Thank you. I should hire you.
Yeah, why not? And I'll hire you back. Let's jump through picks here quick since we are getting a little long.
Yep.
Long in the tooth. So you've been up by two for many weeks in a row now. You have broken that. You are now up by three. Congratulations.
Yippee, yippee.
To recap, the Niners beat the Bears by 1 point. I got that pick right.
Yeah, you did.
The Ravens destroyed the Lions. You got that pick right.
Mm-hmm.
The Vikings beat the Falcons, which you got right. And we both got the Packers beating the Buccaneers, which means you are now up by three.
And I looked at what we got to pick up there. These are tough. I think the easiest pick is actually the Packers-Bears.
2 weeks in a row, it's tough, because last week it was two. And it's Packers-Browns, not so, Packers-Bears.
Is that what I said?
Yep.
Dang it. It starts with a B.
It's okay. I'm here to correct you so you don't confuse the fans.
Mr. English major. Lions at Buccaneers. Do you want me or do you want to pick it? Want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Buccaneers. That's a tough pick.
I'll take the Lions.
Yeah. It was tough because mm-hmm. I just slid it a little bit because they're at home. But they're pretty much out of playoff race now. So.
The Lions?
The Buccaneers.
Yeah, the Buccaneers are out of it, but my thinking was the Lions are now 6-6. Tied with us in the division. They wanted this to be their year. They haven't given up on it yet. They're going to need this win. I think they'll play hard.
Okay. Vikings at Panthers. You go first.
Vikings.
The Vikings, which is good. Hopefully they beat up the Panthers really, really good.
Yeah, I'd like to see them lose again here.
Okay, Bears at Bengals. This is a tough pick. I'm going to go with the Bengals.
Bengals? I'll go with the Bengals, too.
Okay.
And we're both taking the Packers to beat the Browns.
Yep.
What week are we in here? 13?
13. Yeah, let's see. Yep. No, now it's 14. It'll be 14 next week.
Okay. I'm running out of time to gain ground.
Yeah.
So we have the Browns coming up here. That we'll see you guys next time after a victory over the Browns.
Hey, what
Josh
was that?
Josh Gordon.
I wanted to talk about this, and I also want you to mention the video or that guy that's out in front of the Browns Stadium.
Oh,
do you remember the name
of
it?
There's a, I don't remember the name of the video, but there's a Browns fan from a couple years ago after their season, and he's out in front of Browns Stadium, and he's just lamenting the fact that he's a Browns fan. And he's,
but there was a phrase you remembered on that I think if they searched it, they would find
it. He turns away from the camera, and he yells at the stadium. He goes, "You are a factory of sadness." I've always liked that line.
Yes, Josh Gordon is going to be tough.
He's been out of the league for a long time on suspension here with the drug and alcohol issues. He's back now. He's, I would say, hands down the fastest receiver in the league. He just, there's no match for him.
Mm-hmm.
He had his first game back with DeShone Kizer under center. He had 84 yards. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's good. He'll be, I'd say, our biggest worry this game, keeping him under wraps because we do seem to struggle with speed.
Yep.
A lot. I'd say the secret to beating the Browns is we got to get pressure on Kizer before he can underthrow Gordon.
There you go.
All right.
Well, hey, check us out on Facebook at Bleeding Green and Gold. We'd love to have you join in the conversation. It picked up this week. It's funny.
Join the
group. You can tell when we win and we lose. It's the amount of interest that happens there.
And if you have a question, if you have something to say, mm-hmm. or if you disagree with something we said, let us know. Get your voice heard on the show. You can either email us, put it on the group, whatever works for you. Just put your name and your location if you want that on there.
All right. Until after the Browns win,
go Pack go.
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts, Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, go Pack go.